Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message. We are studying about influence. God wants us to be people who exert influence. Whether you know it or you don't, there is an influence that you do have, of course on yourself, but also on people that you may or may not know. And in the Holy Bible, today I want to study with you about a guy whose name is Joshua, on how he grew in his influence. You and I can grow in our influence. Joshua was not only zero in influence, he was negative in influence. But over a period of time, he grew in his influence. Now I want to learn with you from the Holy Bible on how that works. Let's start with Joshua chapter 18 verse 3. Shall we read together? So Joshua said to the people of Israel, "How long will you put off going in to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you?" Now when you study that passage in Joshua chapter 18, you will find that the entire crowd stood up, over 2 million people, and crossed over Jordan to take possession of the land. And we think, wow, what an influential leader Joshua is. But if you really look at his life, a few years ago, many years ago, in Numbers chapter 13, 14 and 15, there is an amazing story of how people rejected his call. The same thing that you read now, he had said about 10, 20 years ago in Numbers chapter 13, 14, 15. He told the people, "Hey, how long do we wait? Let's get into the promised land." People took up stones to throw at him. Just 20, 30 years later, he says the same thing and people follow him. How did Joshua grow in his influence? In the days when there were no universities teaching leadership, in the days where there was no way to communicate, there was no social media, no mass communication methods, how did he grow in being effective to influence others? How did he mentor himself and be mentored to qualify to mentor others? We find that what Joshua adopted in his life, you and I, we can do, and we can grow in the grace of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't know the kind of people who are getting affected. Now you might sit there thinking, "Oh, Pastor, that's because the church has a platform where we are blessed through God's word that you preach." Well, the answer is, it's not limited to that. We all, whether you have the presence on the media or no, your life does influence others. We are all people who are influenced by others. And to start influencing ourselves is so very important, especially when we think of the direction we want in our life. What's the story of the book of Numbers, chapter 13, 14, and 15? Moses, the great leader, the servant of the Lord. Anytime you read about Moses, it's very emotional. It's very amazing, really amazing. And the Bible says Moses was led by the Lord and he brought the Israelites to the promised land at the threshold, at the entry. They had to cross over Jordan, enter into the promised land. So God told Moses, "Turn southward, go up on the mountains bordering Israel and take a look into the promised land and select 12 spies, 12 rulers of Israel from the 12 tribes of Israel. Pick up 12 of them and have them go into the promised land and spy the land." This is the first Israeli Mossad in Israel's history. "Go in there and look out at the land." So Moses selected 12 spies or 12 rulers from the 12 tribes of Israel. Caleb was the son of Jephunneh from the tribe of Judah, and Joshua was the son of Nun from the tribe of Ephraim, and 10 others, altogether 12 of them, Moses sent with a command. You know, sometimes when we come to the threshold, when we come to a place from where we can see the promised land, God tells us, wait, first understand what is there. First, learn what is there. First, get what is there. Why? Because before I give you what you see, you need to be prepared for that. You need to get ready for that. So he sent 12 spies into the land, and Moses told them 7 commandments. 1, go see the land, told the spies, go see the land, what it is, and the people that are there. 2, check out whether they are strong or weak. Are there many or few? 3, check out what kind of land it is. Is it good or bad? Fat or lean? 4, what kind of cities do they dwell in? Do they live in tents like Bedouins, like gypsies, like nomads, like pilgrims? Or do they live in strong houses like Bangaloreans? Whether there is jungle there, is it forest region? Just to understand whether we have to deal with wild animals. Is it like a garden place? What kind of a place is it? And understand one thing. Point 6 and 7, Moses said, 1, be of good courage. 2, when you come back, come back with the fruit from there. So these 12 people, they go into spy. They have to look at all these things and come back. When they went to spy, they had clear, you know, whenever you go to do anything, be clear about why you're going. Where you're going, I don't know. For what? That also I don't know. See, success comes only when you have a way to measure it. Why are you getting married? I don't know. They are forcing me. Hey, no. Why are you studying electronics? I don't like it, Pastor. Then why are you studying? I didn't get any other course. See, I used to have a friend. He used to come to our church. He finished his MBBS, did his MD. Okay? Now, I didn't know he's a doctor. One day he called me to Mathikare to start a cyber cafe. And when I went there, I prayed and opened a cyber cafe. You know, those days they used to have computer centers where you can do your internet. It used to be dial up and they'll give you a coffee. If you do half an hour for, you know, 25 rupees or 50 rupees, it's okay. But if you do a 1 hour for 60 rupees or 75 rupees, you get a coffee with that and stuff. So I went to open the cyber cafe. And he was running the cyber cafe. His wife was very angry sitting there. I asked him, who is she? My wife. I said, hey, why is she angry? Because I just cut the ribbon. She was not at all happy and all that many years ago. So I went to her and said, sister, you come to church? Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, something wrong? She said, yeah. Pastor, he's a MBBS MD and he wants to run cyber cafe. I said, what? Pastor, he's specialized in something about medicine. Then I turned around, I went to him, I said, brother, is this true? Yeah, Pastor. I studied medicine also. I said, then why? No, I'm an engineer actually. I'm a computer engineer. I said, this one, your pastor, I don't know what to do. I never do such things. On the inauguration day of a cyber cafe, I scolded him. I said, I'm your pastor, listen, go and work in a hospital. Then he went and worked in Manipal Hospital. And he was upset with me, he stopped coming. But his wife was happy. Sometimes people become aimless. They do one thing, do another thing. And I'm not saying opening a cyber cafe was wrong. That's not the point. The point is being aimless, being scattered, not being focused. So Moses said, that shouldn't happen to you guys. You know what? If you and I want to grow in our influence, I think focus is so important in life. And the Bible says, these guys went and came back after 40 days. 40 days of waiting. 2 million Israelites are waiting for 40 days. I mean, imagine the anxiety of waiting here. When you're waiting for results after exams, or after giving an interview or after voting. We know the anxiety. 10 fellows came back. 12 of them came back together carrying one cluster of grapes. Now, I have done shopping for grapes. I have purchased grapes from Jalahali when there was a grapes garden. Now it's become a layout. I've gone to Nandi Hills area and picked up grapes. One cluster of grape is what? Anywhere between 200 grams to a kilo and a half, you know, depending on the kind of harvest they have. But Israelites, when they brought one cluster of grapes, it was not 200 grams or 2 kilos. The Bible says two people had to carry it with one rod. They hung one cluster of grapes and two fellows had to carry that one rod, having one hanging one cluster of grape. It was such a productive land. They brought the fruits, gave sample to all the people, leaders, and said, surely it's a land that flows with milk and honey. Flows with milk. Whenever I used to read this line, no? Milk and honey flowing. I used to think, won't it get spoiled when it flows on the road? I mean, why did God say flowing on the, flowing with milk? I mean, don't they have containers or what? Many times in the Bible, the language of the Bible, you have to understand it in the context of the Bible. I want to ask you all a question. I understand English service, you know, everybody is at least 10 standard, 12 standard educated. There's no one below there. I'm pretty sure all of you are professional guys. But let me ask you a question. Forward, that's behind you, is north. Behind me is south. It's north, south. This is west. On my left is west. And on my right is east. Okay, so on your left is east. Left is east. I want to ask you a question. Where does the sun rise? Sure. You're wrong. Because we all studied in our school days itself, sun doesn't rise or set. You didn't go to class that day. We all studied, sun doesn't rise or set. But you all said, sun rises that side, Pastor. See, in English language, we are not looking at the technicality, we're looking at the intention. Now, we understand that sun is not going around the earth, but still we use the phrase sunrise to express not that sun is rising or setting, but that is the expression in the language to clarify a concept. Similarly, because sometimes people ask me, why does the Bible say? I remembered this argument because somebody asked me recently in an email, what does the Bible mean by saying land flowing with milk and honey? Everywhere milk was flowing or what? So I assume it was a question like I had. So a lot of times God speaks in poetic terms, right? And so here, land flowing with milk and honey means abundance. It means if you touch something, it will turn into a great harvest. Opportunities. Things will become better. When God leads you, there may be seasons of wilderness, but your destiny will be abundance. For sure, there will be. Our God is a God of abundance. I came that you will have life and life in abundance. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, right? So the Bible says that these fellows came back and said, surely it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Third, they said the cities are walled and very great. Number four, but we are not able because they are stronger giants than we are. Number five, they said the land that was there is so powerful it can eat us up. Now, sixth thing they said is the most disturbing thing. These 10 fellows are saying, when we saw all of them for the last 40 days, we went through depression because we felt we were grasshoppers in front of them. We felt. Hey, 10 guys, I want to ask you a question. Did they tell you you look like insects? Did anyone tell you it looks like a grasshopper? No, they didn't, right? Then we felt. Trust me, brothers, sometimes the devil also ignores us. But we feel attacked. Sometimes no one insulting us, but we feel ashamed. Because our feelings have the power to destroy us. Today, I beg you in the name of Jesus, let the word of God become the foundation of our feelings. Instead of feeling like a grasshopper, start feeling like the one in me is greater than he that is in the world. I am like the lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm not a grasshopper material. I am called for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Can we change our inward feelings? That is our responsibility. No one told them you're a grasshopper. They felt we are like grasshoppers. This grasshopper anointing, this morning we're going to cast out in Jesus' name. Anybody that says, I'm a grasshopper pastor, mornings I feel like grasshopper. When I see the project, I feel like grasshopper. When I see my wife, I feel like grasshopper. I don't know when you feel like a grasshopper, but you are not a grasshopper. You are a child of the King of Kings. You have a destiny by the grace of God, and you're going to walk. Oh, come on. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. They said, we felt like grasshoppers in our own sight. What a pathetic group of Israelites. And these are the first Mozarts of the world. And you know, negative news travels faster than anything. Today I'm preaching a good sermon. I assume by the end of the week, 80,000 people, 70,000 people would have watched it on the, or 1 lakh people would have watched it on the social media, on different platforms. That's normal. But if something bad happens to me, millions will watch it. Because the world likes bad. World likes bad. I always say this, when I got married, I took my wife to MG Road the very next day to show her Bangalore. I was in a hurry. Hey, come on, don't laugh at me. We all make mistakes, don't we? That wasn't a mistake, but yeah, I was in a hurry. Actually, I was making up. I made a mistake in the morning. First day after marriage, Thursday night I got married. Friday morning I rushed for a housewarming without telling her. I was not yet used to, you know, taking a gate pass from the wife. I was just happy that I didn't have to do it from my mother, because that season was over. I was entering a new season in life. Some people say, I'm total free and all. Wake up, brother. So anyway, that day evening, I took her to MG Road and, you know, I was just telling her this is the shopping area and stuff like that. Bought her a skirt and stuff, and she had changed into, oh, we are having a good time. Someone's called my house and told my mother, can you believe it? We saw it. Your son is walking with some lady. See? Then my mother said, don't worry. How does she look? They kind of had a chat. My mother said, not to worry. We fixed her with him. They are married. Oh, cut the line. There is such speed for bad news. People like bad news. Don't worry if people talk bad about you. That's the nature of the world. You don't count your life based on what others talk. You count your life based on what God's word talks. Don't worry about what others talk. And people were so bad, so mad, so angry, they started crying. The Bible says in Numbers 13, 14, people cried whole night hearing this story. And you know what they were talking while crying? When I was reading those passages, I was amazed at how negative sometimes anointed people can get. They started asking questions to Moses, why did you bring us here to die? We would have been happy to die in Egypt. And another group said, let us go back to Egypt so we can die. I mean, I don't get it. These guys somehow had a feeling that on their epitaph in the tomb, if it's written, died in Egypt, it's something great. It's crazy. I just wish I'd go back and die. I have a question for you, group of Israelites. At least try going into the promised land and die. Doesn't that sound better for your children? When negativity comes, no, there is no limit. Two fellows got up, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, excuse me, even we went there. Okay, not only these 10 guys, even we went there. Calm down, guys. The land, they said five things. The land is really good. Let us go right now and possess the land, for we are able. Number three, if the Lord delight in us, he will give us that land. I like their attitude, man. Oh. They were not like the other 10. Their point was, we don't care if those guys are big and strong. We don't care if we are weak and feeble. The question is God involved in it? If God is involved in it, if God delights in it, hey, we are taking over in the name of Jesus. Amen. But don't rebel. Number four, don't rebel against the Lord and don't fear the people. These are two connected things. When you fear the enemy, you will disobey the Lord. When you have faith in God, you will obey the Lord. Your disobedience is connected to your lack of faith. And your obedience and worship is connected to your faith in God. You'll find that again and again in the scripture. The more you trust God, the more you really believe in him, your behavior will change in obedience to God's word. The Bible says, this fellow Joshua said something that I tell you amazes me. In the days where there was no Pentecost, in the days when there was no prophecy like how we have today, speaking in tongues and revelations, in those days, Joshua said one statement, the fifth thing he said, brothers and sisters of Israel, when we walked over there, their defense, their powers, the strength that they have in their gods is gone. Their defense has departed. We will go and take over. Joshua, what do you mean? Say, you know what I mean? Even though the tabernacle of Moses is in the wilderness, when we went into the enemy territory, we were not alone. Our God was with us. His presence was with us. 40 days when we were walking there, I know every power of witchcraft, every power of evil, every strength that they have kept lifting away, kept going away. Their defense is gone, and now our God is able to give us the victory by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, somebody, we got to learn the depth of the meaning of God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. And what would you think? Now, when I'm preaching this, y'all are clapping. When Joshua gave a motivational message, what would have happened? People clapped? No, they looked for stones. The Bible says they took stones to throw at Moses and Joshua. Don't come to encourage us. We want to cry. Now, imagine when you are encouraging people to go into the promised land, they take stones to throw at you and you have to run. What will you do? Average people will say, enough, no more motivating them. No more trying again. I'm fed up. Can't influence. I can talk to donkey pastor, not these people. But you know what Joshua did? He said, I'm not going to blame the people. I'm going to grow in my influence. I'm going to grow in the grace of God. I'm going to learn how to deal with this. About 20 years later, he comes back in Joshua chapter 18 and repeats the same thing to the same people, and they cross over. You get the concept here? The man grew in his influence to move a stubborn people. They didn't change. They were the same, but he changed. Suddenly the Bible says, when the people took stones to throw, God appeared. Oh, I love my Jesus. He's got a way of appearing at the nth minute, at the last minute, when everything is over, when everything is hopeless, God steps in. God's glory stepped in. And the people stopped And they were staring. And God spoke and said, in verse number 21, God said, "And the earth shall be filled with my glory as the waters cover the sea." The Bible says, as God spoke, 10 of the fellows who brought bad report died on the spot. I know, sometimes we feel, I wish we were living in Old Testament. We all feel like that sometimes, no? Okay, you all are very holy. I have felt like that sometimes about some people. 10 of them died, but we are living in New Testament. It's grace. God is very gracious to everyone. 2 people who believed God, and the Bible says Joshua and Caleb, nothing happened to them. They grew stronger. And the people watched the whole thing. Now, how did this guy Joshua grow and not allow a setback in his life? And instead, how did he develop the kind of deep influence? Number one, as I study his life, he was mentored by Moses. You know, we all should be careful about who's mentoring us. Sometimes without our knowledge, comics and books are mentoring us. Sometimes social media and screen time is influencing us and we don't even know it. Sometimes music is influencing us. We don't know. There are extreme cases. In our church, once there was a fellow who, one guy who went mad. He was studying MBBS. He went mad, addicted to rock music, got too much into, he's not even a Christian. He comes from a non-Christian family. Got into rock music, destroyed his mind, and couldn't complete his education. You know, became nuts. Very sad story. Be careful about what, not everybody may go into an extreme fatigue in life, but even a minor negative influence, which is wrong, is not good for us. Be careful of what mentors us. Be careful of what garbage we allow in our life. It is not good. It's not at all nice. The Bible says he was mentored by Moses. He allowed Moses to mentor him. He was serving God in the life of Moses. Everybody, we must take time to serve God in and through the church. Somewhere, somehow serve God. Get involved in doing something for Jesus. Because your real growth comes only in action. That's why after your schooling, they will not take you to work anywhere. In your graduation, one of the things they allow you to do is learn how to practically do what you sit and learn in the theory class. Why? Because it's an action that you actually learn how things work. Serving is very important. If you and I want to be people of influence, we have to learn to serve. The Bible says he was mentored by Moses. One of the passages in the Bible that really influenced me is Exodus chapter 33 and 34, where the Bible says Moses went into the tabernacle of God and sat in the presence of God, and the glory of God came at Moses and God spoke like a friend with a friend. Wow, what an experience. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, entered the tabernacle and waited there. And the Bible says Moses finished his prayer, finished talking to God, and got out of the tabernacle. But Joshua remained in God's presence. I think that's why when Moses died, God did not take Moses' sons or children to become leaders. God looked at Joshua and said, "You arise, because I need somebody who will sit in my presence." Hallelujah. Yes, today we are sitting in God's presence. But when Sunday is over, pastor is gone. Monday onwards, let's learn to carry the presence of God. Like Joshua sat in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He was mentored. Mentoring is a very important thing. He did not allow the setback of people trying to stone him to discourage him. Number one, Joshua grew in his influence because he was willing to take time to grow in maturity. Time and maturity go together only for those who are willing to learn over time. Let's say that together. Learn over Otherwise, time will come by itself. Learning won't happen. Learning is a choice. And in the Asian context, the meaning of the word learning is memorizing. Because right from school days, parents tell us, we're going to auntie's house. Time is 5 o'clock. 7 o'clock, we'll come back. If you don't study chapter 6, better study chapter 6. When I come back, I'll ask you. So we are studying chapter 6. What is studying chapter 6? Memorizing. That's all. No understanding. No concept of figuring out what. Memorize. We memorize the whole thing. In Hindi, they say, no, ratta marna. Whole thing we memorize. Same thing we grow up and do with the Bible. I don't know why, Pastor, I get scared. I fully study the Bible. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. At such a speed, no shepherd can catch up. Hey, the meaning of the word learn is not memorize. It's not whether you memorize the Bible. It's good to memorize the Bible, but that's not the meaning. The meaning is, did you learn the Bible? Which means, did you connect personally with the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? Are you a sheep of his pasture? That's the meaning of the word learn. Some people have so much Bible verses in them. Wow. Some villages, I've seen some cars. It's almost like they're held, the car, old car, is held together, not with nuts and bolts, but with Christian Bible verses, stickers. But if you cut them in the traffic, the glass will roll down and another language will come out. Learning the Bible is different from memorizing it. Am I communicating here with anybody? Learning the Bible means to understand its application. Next time when you are in the same situation, don't repeat the behavior that you did when you didn't know the Bible. This time in the same situation, have a new behavior. Why? Because what you learned is put into practice. That's called learning the Bible. When the rubber hits the road, behavior is new because attitude level changes have happened. Changing your pattern of response. That's why Joshua grew and he spoke the same words in Numbers chapter 13. People wanted to stone him. The same words he speaks in Joshua chapter 18. People pack their bags and are ready to move. Why? He grew with time in maturity. Second, he grew his influence because he picked up patience and integrity. Are you all enjoying the message? The Bible says he grew in his patience. See, when I use the word patience and integrity, many people think patience means being patient, just wait, bus will come, auto will come, just wait. No, that is different. When the Bible says wait, it doesn't mean just wait without doing anything. It means prepare for what God has promised. The meaning of the word wait in the Bible is prepare. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, right? You remember that verse? The meaning of the word wait there is those who prepare upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Prepare for God's plan in your life. Waiting, waiting, waiting. I'm doing nothing, Pastor. No, no, no. You're doing nothing is not waiting in the Bible. When you're preparing for what God has promised, that is the waiting of the Bible. Joshua was preparing himself for what God, that is the meaning of the word wait. Prepare. Prepare. And that's the meaning of the word patience. He prepared for the promise. And the meaning of the word integrity. Integrity means, one of the meanings of the word integrity is sinking. Not ship sinking. That is S-I-N-K, no? This is S-Y-N-C. Sinking means collaborating, harmony, equilibrium, balance. All the strings of the guitar tuned together. Sinking. That's integrity. Integrity is when your heart feels the way the mind thinks. Mind knows this fellow is a rowdy. Not good for me. But heart, I like him. That is lack of integrity. And then when dad says, darling, you didn't dress up. You keep quiet, dad. Because between heart and mind, already one battle is going on. Now you're throwing tantrums everywhere. Please don't behave like I spoke about you. See, it is so important to get it in sync. Integrity is to sync all the parts. You remember that Psalm 103, verse 2 onwards, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It's not enough for the mind to praise God. It's not enough for the lips to praise God. It's important your heart and your mind and everything within you go in the same direction. Integrity is to have every part of you going in one direction. Joshua made it very clear. I have only one life and it's going to be like a magnetic compass. It's going to walk in the direction where God, I'm not going to leave anything anywhere. Everything is moving in one direction. May I tell you, that's the time God will stand with you and say, hey, you're not alone. I am going to be with you. I'll lead you, Jacob. I'll hold your hand. Hallelujah. When God sees integrity, God responds to it. God will not ignore integrity. Amen. Joshua developed patience and integrity. And that's why his results changed. Number three, Joshua grew in his anointing. Let's say that together. Joshua grew in his anointing. We must grow in our anointing. Never will come a time in life where you feel, I've become so anointed, I can't take it anymore. No. As long as we are breathing, there is room for more anointing. Grow in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Get fresh presence of God every day in our lives. And Joshua grew in the anointing by he avoided the temptation to handle things in the carnal way and allow the divine anointing to lead him. This is where the management myth is broken. Management myth says, if you are a good manager, you are a good influencer. No, that's not true. Great managers can manage what they have, but may not be able to influence others. Your ability to manage is different from your ability to motivate. You may be able to manage a classroom, but you may not be able to motivate a classroom unless you learn to influence by the grace of God. Management is different from influence. Knowledge is different from influence. Influential people may have knowledge, will have knowledge. And of course, we all know the adage of today's world, you know, knowledge is power, they say. And that's true. But knowledge does not make people influential. You know, if you have knowledge, you may be able to inform people. But if you have influence, you can transform people. If you have just information, you can inform people. That's some kind of knowledge. But if you have the grace of God and the anointing, you will not only inform your children, your parents, your friends, but you'll be able to transform them little by little by the grace of God Almighty. Hallelujah. You and I are going to grow in the name of Jesus. Like Joshua grew in his influence, we can grow in the grace of God. Hallelujah. This young lady came back after trying to climb Mount Everest. True story. She came back after trying to climb Mount Everest, could not climb Mount Everest about 300 feet or was it 1,000 feet? I don't remember the exact number. She couldn't climb further. Sir Edmund Hillary, I think, was trying to help her up, that famous, you know, guide of the Mount Everest, but she came down. And then she was raising sponsors because she wanted to go back next year and climb the mountain again. She said, I will hit Mount Everest this time. One of the sponsors got up and said, why should we sponsor you again? Because the last time we sent you, you wasted the money. You didn't reach there. This time, how do we know you will climb? She looked back at that guy and said, sir, this time I'm preparing. I'm working hard. And I'll tell you one thing, Mount Everest cannot grow, I can grow. My problem will not grow, I can grow. And I know I can overcome. Today I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus, look at the devil and tell him, baby, you can't grow, but I can. In the name of Jesus, you problem, you cannot grow, but by the grace of God, I will grow week after week, month after month. And next time, I'm going to climb up in the name of Jesus. I'm going to take over. Somebody give the Lord a mighty hand and say, yes, Father, I will, I will, I will. What you cannot influence today, you will influence tomorrow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Close your eyes and say, Lord, I'm ready. I believe in your word. I'm going to walk in the call you've given me. I don't need to try shortcuts and compromises of the world. I know you are more than faithful. I commit to growth, especially in the area of influence. Maybe slowly, maybe little by little. Maybe you're going to give me a big jump instantly, or maybe it's going to be progressive, but I know I can grow like Joshua, who was going to be thrown with stones to death. Thank you, Lord, how beautifully you grew him, that the same sentence years later motivated the same people to move in the direction of your will. Similarly in my life, Lord, I commit myself to growing. I thank you that my challenge, no matter how big it is, your grace can grow in my life. Your strength can grow in my life. There's no habit I cannot overcome. There is no thought pattern I cannot win over. There is no controlling spirit that I cannot cast out, because by your grace, I can grow. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I worship you today. I praise you today. I love everybody. Come on, talk to the Lord. From deep within our recesses, let's tell the Master, here I am for a change. Here I am to grow in your grace. Here I am, Lord. Hallelujah. That your promises may be fulfilled in my life. Here I am. Heavenly Father, this beautiful day, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that with time, as we learn, maturity is something that you are imparting in our life. Thank you that we can grow in the anointing. Thank you that we can grow through patience. Yes, through integrity. Yes. That we can grow in these things. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you have created us to be influential for your glory and honor. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the people said, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website. Or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.